Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 150, part 2. I am Justified. Today is Sunday, June 6th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota because we have no boundaries. It's located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you live anywhere in Minnesota and you need food, and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also join the online community at the top of the homepage at www.pastorpaul.org. You're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at the blog. There you're going to find interactive links to scriptures within Pastor Paul's messages. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. Now here's a lineup for the month of June. These are the podcasts. I Am Justified, Forgiveness and Condemnation Can't Mix, Lights in Dark Places, Your Business or His Business. Thank you for joining the podcast, and be sure to join us each week, Friday for part one, Sunday for part two, and the conclusion of Pastor Paul's weekly podcasts. Have a great month of June, and God bless you.
You are justified freely by the grace of God. Justified freely by the grace of God. Justified, come on. Justified freely by the grace of God. Satan hates that. Justified freely by the grace of God. Come on, Whiner. Freely by the grace of God. Justified freely by the grace of God. Justified freely by the grace of God. Justified freely by the grace of God. And justified freely by the grace of God. 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 Doesn't that do something for you? Get up in the morning and sing that. When you're feeling so ornery and so mean and so cantankerous, just get up and start singing justified freely by the grace of God. By the time that you get your shoes on, you're going to feel a little bit better. The time you get your trousers on and slip your suspenders up over the top or belt or whatever that you dress, whatever habitat that you wear, you're going to feel a little bit better because you're justified freely by the grace of God. Isn't that a wonderful message? There's nothing else to preach. I've been in churches where they amen every word you say, and they don't mean one thing of it. Say amen. You can just hear the same old parrot. Amen, amen, amen. And they don't mean it. You know what? They are so bound up. I've been to churches where they have a chorus of amens. I don't want anybody to say amen unless they really do. Hey, say amen, somebody. Then say it. Are you hearing my message here today? How frustrating for Satan. Can you imagine this? I am a convicted sinner. I am walking the last mile. Death is right ahead. And at the last moment, a man, namely Jesus Christ, steps up. I'll take on his character. I'll become what he is. He becomes me. I take on him. But we can't do that in the natural, can we? No. If we could, how about the guilt? I might take his punishment, but how about the person's guilt? You might die for someone, but then the person still has the guilt. Oh, that guilt, the guilt. People are motivated by guilt, and they're motivated by fear. One day they're fearful, and the next day they're guilty. And the next day they're fearful, and the next day they're guilty. You waver in between two things. But what flesh and blood cannot do? Jesus Christ, by the redemption, did. Wow, he takes on our guilt. He takes on my punishment. And the penalty is completely paid in what? In full. Now let me explain some of the characteristics of justification. As soon, let me say it over and over again. As soon as a repenting sinner is justified, right now, he is justified for all of his sins for all times. Now, there are consequences for choices that you make. I'm not putting that in there as a footnote. Here he stands all alone. He's a guilty man. And the moment that he believes in Jesus Christ, his pardon is at once, and his pardon is forever. You mean forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever? Forever. And his sins are no longer his. You do not own your sins anymore. You mean these sins here? No. They're not yours. Jesus takes them. What? Do you ever wonder why you get this feeling of elation when you get into the justification message and you're justified by the grace of God and you start to realize again and again and again he pardons you once and forever and for always? They are cast, it says into the Bible, into his sea of forgetfulness. Now, you know, when you forget things, you remember them again. But when infinite God says, I have a forgetfulness that can really forget, do you think he forgets them? It says never to be remembered anymore. When you get to heaven, he's not going to throw up your sins at you. He's going to ask you what you did with love. Where were you when I was sick, a prisoner, and a widow? Where were you when I was a hungered? But he's not going to ask you about, remember that time you did this or that? No. Isn't that great? Man, I got some things I did I don't want to rerun movie on. I don't know how many have done things they don't want to rerun movie on. Praise God. Talks about X-rated movies. Forget it. The things that go on in your mind even. Aren't you glad they aren't thrown up? Boy, I am. Woo! Wouldn't that be a revealing? But the Bible says they are cast into the sea. They are laid upon the shoulders of Jesus Christ, and they are gone. He carries them up the hill and nails them to the cross and says, unto thee I commend my spirit, and the body is left here. Say amen. The man then, it says in the Bible, stands before God guiltless, accepted, it says, in the Beloved. What? You say, do you mean that literally? Yes, literally I mean it. That is the doctrine of justification by faith. man ceases to be regarded by the divine justice as a guilty person. God refuses to see you as guilty, not guilty. One time I was ministering in a trailer, and it was so full in there, it was like one of them cartoons. It was a boom, 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 them old-fashioned cartoons where they have this house and it just bulges at the sides. Now I was inside there, and there was a woman in there that was so guilt-ridden, I didn't believe it. And all of a sudden, the Lord was impressing in my mind, not guilty. Not guilty. And she went through such a deliverance, I never seen nothing like it. Not guilty. I must have said not guilty about 50 times until she was fully limp. And finally then, after she had laid there for a while, she got up. And what she had on her lips is, my God, I am so glad that I am not guilty. Thank you for the redemption through the blood. Thank you for Jesus Christ, and thank you for freeing my mind up here and letting me know that I am not guilty. And the Lord spoke to her. You are not guilty. A direct revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ about his free gift of grace. Oh, my God, how people need to hear that. How I need to hear it every day. How I need to know that Jesus took on all of my guilt, did all of my punishment, paid it in full. And as soon as someone receives Jesus Christ, they are justified. Are you hearing this? Are you hearing it? Man ceases to be regarded, I said, by the divine justice as guilty. I refuse to see this person as guilty. Oh, boy. And then you see the Bible says God looks upon you with great love. Well, a person asked me today, the other day about love. He said, well, how about the love of God? What is the love of God? I said, well, it isn't something that God acquired. He didn't go to school and learn how to love. He is love. There is nothing you can pull out of God that doesn't have love on it. Well, doesn't God have absolutes? I says, he absolutely does, but he is also a sovereign God. And he says, in my sovereignty, I overlook what I've said in my absolutes, and I overrule that. I change my mind, in other words. Do you think God has a right to change his mind? Well, he does. He changed his mind about me. Didn't God change his mind about you? I overrule that. And you say, well, but I did this. I don't want to hear it. If you receive the blood of Jesus Christ and I can see it all over you, you are counted not guilty. As the Father loved me, so have I loved you. Wow. Doesn't that pass all thought? Doesn't it pass all understanding? Well, you know why it does? It is the doctrine of the Holy Ghost. The doctrine we're saved by, our hope. That is your blessed hope. Listen to the parable of Joshua, the high priest. Now, Joshua came in clothed in filthy garments. And these filthy garments, of course, represented his sins. And take away the filthy sins, that is the pardon. Put the crown upon his head. Clothe him in royal blue robes, that's justification. And you say, where do those robes come from and where do those rags go? Well, the robes that he had on go to Christ, the filthy, dirty rags. Listen. And the garments of Christ are given to him. Wow. And remember Jonathan and David? Jonathan put his robes on David, and David gave Jonathan his garments, and Christ takes on our sins, and we take on Christ's righteousness. Here you are with the dirty, stinking, vomitously smelling garment, besmudged with all kinds of sin and every kind of iniquity that you can name is on it. It stinks so bad nobody even want to get next to you. They say they ought to put you in a hole and bury you and plant flowers over the top of you, do anything to get rid of the stink. Christ walks up and says, give me that robe. And he puts on that robe and he gives you his righteousness. And who's going to argue with it? Not I. And it is by this very glorious substitution. It is by this very glorious interchange of places that the sinners go free and are justified by his grace. But you say, no one is justified like that till he dies. Believe me, he is. Believe me, the moment a sinner believes and trusts in the crucified God, his pardon is at once and forever and for always. The moment that he receives salvation is made full by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's Bible, and don't you dare argue about it, because God wants you to believe it so you can walk in newness of life and you can lift up your head and say, I know I'm justified, for the blood of Jesus Christ is powerful. Hallelujah. And the gospel message that I hear right now is setting me free. Hallelujah. You can start to believe in Jesus Christ like that right now. You out there that are under that terrible legalism. Realizing by a spiritual experience what I have attempted to describe here today. You are as much justified now in the sight of God as you were, as you are going to be when you stand before God at the throne. How's it going to be when I get before the throne? Just exactly how you believe it is down here right now. You are justified by grace. It's not of works, it's by the blood of Jesus Christ. When you go before the throne of God, when you go up there, you can walk up there boldly. For Jesus Christ, in your believing that, has done it all. And you walk up there boldly. You know you don't deserve it. You know that it's unmerited love. But you appreciate Jesus. And so you have Jesus on your lips. And you walk up there with Jesus in your mind. And you walk up there with Jesus in every fiber of your body. And you say, praise God for Jesus. He has done it all. And you give all the glory to God. God, thank you for sending your Son that take away all the sin of all the world, of all time, and all my guilt, and all the things that have hindered me. Thank you, Lord. Enter in. Enter in. You got the grace message down. Go on. Get on in there. Say amen, somebody. Okay. You're as much, I said, accepted right now as the glorified ones above. Moses and Elijah. Jonathan, David, all the saints that are there, mothers and fathers and cousins and brothers, pastors and people of all the different races, of all the different ages that are watching the cloud of witness, you're as glorified right now as they are. By how? By faith. By knowing. By saying, yes, I believe. By saying, yes, I'm going to be sitting and telling Moses, pass the pepper. Say amen, somebody. It's a perfect washing. It's a perfect pardon. It's a perfect imputation. We are fully, we are freely, fully accepted through the Christ Jesus our Lord. And just one more word about justification. Those who are once justified are justified irreversibly. Did you ever have a car that wouldn't go into reverse? Well, it's the same way here. You cannot reverse God's decision. Do you think that you can reverse a decision from the high command of God? Do you think a person can do that? Do you think a church can do that? No one can reverse God's decision. The only thing that God will give you is more love, more forgiveness, and more mercy. And he tells you to do the same. In the measure that you mete it out, so shall it be met out to you. In the measure that you show mercy, so shall ye receive mercy. And in the measure that you give out grace, that also will you get in return. In the manner that you sow, so shall ye reap. And if you aren't giving out the justification message, rich and full and free, if you aren't giving out the blood message, covered sins, covered once and forever and for always, if you get into the thing of thinking that, well, man, this and that, and you get into your own mind, and you start to picking things apart and start to reading, and don't worry about humanism. My God, it's out there. You're human yourself a lot of times. Stop talking about the humanist. Who cares? Start to lift up Jesus. That's no argument anyway. Who cares? That's like a person told me, do you think I should take an aspirin? I said, I could care less. I'll pray for you. You'll go out and take one anyway. It's not a great big issue. Right? Is it an issue? What is the issue here today? The issue is Jesus Christ and what he's done. That's the important thing. Oh, but we get puffed up in our own knowledge. Well, let's attack this. Let's attack this humanistic movement over here. You attack it, you're going to wake it up. Lift up Jesus and it'll run. You know, don't go down there and have corners down there and throw fireballs at all these magazines and stuff. Lift up Jesus. Lift up the Lord. Say, oh yeah, I used to read all that stuff. And I enjoyed it. But now I got something better. Didn't Paul say that? He went and he had all these gods there. He told the Greeks, says, oh my, this is very impressive, all these gods here with these fig leaves and so on. Very impressive. But I have a living God. I have the living God. And so, well, who is he? You aren't going to tell anybody anything by tearing them down. Say amen. But you're going to show people a lot by lifting Jesus up. What are you so happy about? I got a secret. Don't people want to know a secret? God, there's... just drives them crazy. Tell me. Come on. I promise I won't tell anybody. Well, it's a secret. You want me to tell you if it's a secret? You wouldn't tell anybody. You'd expect me to? But I mean, I really won't tell anybody. What are you saying about me then? Oh, okay. Jesus is my personal Savior and has made me feel great. And there's more secrets to it, but just go with that one for right now. Walk around like you got a secret. You hear that? Oh, do you think I'm crazy? Well, I am. Hey, that's we all know that. I've been a fool for Christ's sake since I started preaching. And you walk around like you got something. You really got something. See, like you really, I got something. You ever walk around like you got something? So, no, when you get something, when you get $1 million, you walk around like that. Well, what got into you? And see, you're not supposed to tell anybody this. This is a secret. You're not supposed to tell anybody or you won't get it. You're ready to blow up. Walk around like that. And people say, you know, there's something at pray. Get Jesus built up on the inside of you. You know what I mean? No, don't get yourself built up. We've had enough of you. Lift up Jesus on the inside of you. Expand. Get into a larger room. And you walk around like that, and you have this justification message, and you have this free grace of God in message in you, and you start to think about what a wonderful thing it is, and if you were to die right now, you go immediately to heaven and meet Jesus Christ and cross over the other side, and that's it, and then you're the cloud of witnesses watching the rest of us down here, and you get to start to think about that, and then you know you got something. You got a message on the inside. It's all what you think of. It's all what's in your container. And it says we are the walking, talking epistles known and read of all men. Well, you know, it's like reading a canned goods. What the ingredients is. What kind of a reading are we? We fill ourselves up with all of these different things and all of these notions about we hate humanism, we hate this, we hate that. And so it's marked on the back of the can. This is the ingredients. It's in this person. This is what they're carrying around. No, carry around Jesus. Don't worry about all these other movements. Flush them. How many are hearing this message? The moment that you believe, listen, radio audience, maybe you need saving today. The moment that you believe you are saved and it is irreversible, God will never take it away from you. Man can't take it away. No one can take it away. God won't take it away. And as soon as the sinner takes Christ's place and Christ takes the sinner's place, there is no fear of a second change. No fear whatsoever. If Christ has once paid the debt is paid and it will never be asked for again. Wow. If you are pardoned, The Bible says you are pardoned forever. God says, I have punished Christ that you may go free. And then after that, we may rejoice in the hope of the glory, it says, of God, that being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if this doctrine sounds strange to your ears, it's not because it's strange, it's because your ears have become estranged. This doctrine sounds strange to some people. You know why? Sometimes it sounds strange to them because they really don't care. Well, I heard it before. If you heard it before and you really live what I'm talking about, man, you've got something. You really have something. You really have the secret to living. Now, the life that I now live, I live by faith. It is no longer I that lives, but Christ in me, the hope of glory. Doesn't that take a lot of worry out of things? It's no longer you that lives. Don't you want to die? How many in here want to just die to their own self? Isn't there a song? I got a lot of dying to do. No, there's a lot of living to do, but actually it's dying to do. Lastly, now, the manner of giving this righteousness. Listen to it. You may ask off of the radio, can I be justified? I have been a drunkard. Can I be justified? Yes. I am a homosexual. Can I be justified? Yes, you can. I am a lesbian. Can I be justified? I am a murderer. Can I be justified? Can I be justified? Yes, if you desire to be. God's grace has made you willing. Hallelujah. God's grace has made you willing to ask that question. Can I be justified? Yes, you most assuredly can, and don't you let no wimp tell you any different either. God's grace is willing to cover you up right now if you confess your sins to Christ. He will right now take on all your rags and give you his robes of righteousness and cover you by the blood forever. Well, how do I obtain it? Do I have to read the Bible 3 or 4 times? Do I have to do penance? Will I have to leave this old earth and get prayed into heaven, get in some kind of purgatory room and have people pray over me and pay $1,000 a year in masses to get up there? No, it ain't got nothing to do with it. Will I have to say 101 prayers and light 104 candles? No, that ain't got nothing to do with it. Must I become holy? You can't become holy. Your only holiness and your only spirituality is Jesus Christ. Oh, freely by his grace, it says. Freely because there is no price to be paid for it. I'm talking about the grace of God. You got to get saturated in that. But because we don't deserve it. Hallelujah. Because we think in our own minds, I don't deserve it. We say, I must do something to deserve it. Now, if I could preach justification by walking 100 miles and I had Nike tennis shoes up here, covered the whole stage up here with Nike tennis shoes, I would have the altars filled with people putting on these running suits. I wonder where they're all going anyway, running. I now jumpsuits, and they'd have on these little things, and they say, okay, if I'm justified by running 100 miles, let's have at it. Because it's something they can understand with their frontal lobes. If I could preach justification by the whip and chain people up here, and they could get up here, and then we'd whip them. Is that enough? No, I don't think I'm saved yet. Okay. Think you're saved yet? Put more nine tails on it. Get 4 or 5 guys out. Okay, gang, come on up. You know how many people would be up here to get yourself beat up? Now I feel saved. Wow, look at his back. He is really saved. There's
there's no skin on it at all. I want to be saved just like he is. Bring up a dozen people. I want to get more saved than he is. I want to be for sure. Okay, 12 people. Oh, he's breaking some kind of a record. And he turns around smiling. I am. Go at it. And he gets down and says, man, this guy broke. He hasn't got no back at all. You can see his backbone. Ooh, wow, he's really safe. And so then we start another church where they give 140 lashes with 12 people, because that's how you really get saved now, because you're really saved. Well, isn't that what people do? They go from one whip to the next whip and to more whips. Well, you mean I don't have to do nothing? Nothing. Well, I want to do something. I don't care what you want to do. Sit down and shut up. You can't do a thing. I used to think I had to do something. I thought that every time I went by somebody, didn't matter what kind of a hurry I was in, and they were having a flat tire, I would have to pull over. Having trouble here? Flat tire, huh? Sure, I got a jack. Sure, I got the lug wrench. Sure, I got the stuff. None of you guys ever take them apart, and their arms are tight, you can't get them off. Yeah, I actually thought it was, you know, I was a messenger sent from God to change all these tires. I did. I'd stop it. In trouble? And I hated to do it. I mean, I had to go down and buy this stuff. You squirt on there, rust be gone or something like that. Did I feel saved after I got done? No, I felt sweaty and mean. And then I'd get up and give a testimony. Well, praise God, today I had another opportunity to change a tire. I was so blessed. Liar. When we get into those kind of things, aren't we liars? Now, I'm not telling you not to help somebody change a tire, but I mean, it is not your mission in life to change everybody's tires. Don't go out looking for it. I mean, there's a lot of poor people down here, and you're going to see a lot of flat tires. You hearing this? You wear yourself out. God. Every phone call I said, I put on my cards. Call on me 24 hours. And they did. The preacher told me, he says, well, let me tell you, when you put that on your card, you're going to be real good and busy. I said, praise the Lord, I want to be busy 24 hours a day. I wasn't busy 24 hours a day praising God. Did you hear me? About 19 of those hours, because there was so many phone calls, I was meaner than hell itself. That's just the truth about it. See what I mean? Because I wasn't doing it in the spirit. I was doing it by the flesh. I was taking these whips. I thought, that's the way you'll get to heaven. God seeing me change his tire. Aren't you? Okay. But anyway, when it is finally and freely accepted, then it's something that you can really hold on to. I got it. Still, someone, I just heard him say over the radio, am I to have it for nothing? You mean nothing? Well, I tell you why, radio audience, it's like this. People would end up having a self-justification testimony time. Sir, come on up here. I see that your knees are bleeding. Your pants look like old tires that have blown out, rags hanging all over. Now, come on up and give us money on how you got saved. You look so saved with them bloody knees. How did you? Well, what's that, sir? What's that, sir? Oh, you say that you walked all the way from California on your knees? Do you know it's weird, but you'll find people that actually, I'm talking spiritually now, that will get out there in California, start out in Garden Grove, walk all the way to the north side here on their knees. If someone said they got saved that way. Now, I'm just using that as an example, but sometimes people think that getting saved is like a lot of works, or wounding themselves, or hurting. So off they go. And you could see them out there in the road. So what are they doing? Well, they're on their way to heaven. That job. Things are getting better every day. Isn't that what we do in our minds? Isn't it? We take the whip, we walk on our knees. We get up and give a testimony on how he suffered for God. Sir, I see you have no nose. No nose. Did you do this for the cause of Christ, sir? Come on up. Sir, come on up. Tell us how you did it. Tell us.
Well, I wanted to do something, and I thought, I'll cut off my nose, and people will see that I really love the Lord. So I cut off my nose. There's literally hundreds of, come on in, fellas. And a whole group comes in with their noses cut off despite their faith, and we're from the no-nose church. We seen these people walking on their knees, and we said, we want to do something greater for the Lord. So we cut off our noses, and now we got saved by doing this.
Sir, I see you have no ears. Tell us, wouldn't we have a meeting on telling how we got saved by our own works and by our own suffering and how we walked on our knees and how we took the lash and how we cut our noses off and how we suffered for the cause of Christ? Praise God, there's a suffering, but you don't have to cause it. It'll come to you. Sir, I see you're dragging a dead horse. Why are you dragging that dead horse? Penance. I feel I must do it. The Lord spoke to me. No, don't help me. This is my own suffering. Does this sound silly to you? It's the truth. People drag dead horses around with them all the time. Don't they? Maybe, see, the dead horse can be you dragging yourself around. Huh? Maybe you're that whining dead horse. Everybody around, dead horses don't whine? Oh, I don't know, maybe they do. Maybe they don't. Have you ever been around one, spiritually speaking, that dead horse that's whining? Oh, I'm going to, where are you going? I'm going to heaven. What are you dragging that horse around? Oh, never mind. This is the way I get to heaven, okay? You guys cut off your noses, you guys cut off your ears, you guys take the lash, you guys walk on your knees, I'm pulling a dead horse. All right! Does it sound silly to you? It's the truth. God, people go through a lot of things to make it to heaven, and they've already made it experientially because Jesus has done it all. How many are hearing the message? I know there's a whole lot on the radio. It doesn't make a lot of horse sense to you because you want to walk on your knees and you want to cut off your nose and you want to cut off your ears and you just end up ugly, feeling unsaved. But a person told me, Pastor Paul, I don't understand the word freely. Well, if I gave you $1 million, would you understand that? Well, I would ask why. Would you accept it, though? Well, sure, who wouldn't? Well, I'm offering you riches that you can't even count. I'm offering you a lot here. Say amen, somebody. And I hope deliverance comes today to a lot of folks. My God, we need to get busy in the work of the Lord. Say amen, somebody. No. I mean, can I please go to church and lay some claim to His mercy and say, Lord, justify me, you see, because I am not as bad as others. Doesn't my goodness count? No, listen. This is what I don't understand about justification. I don't understand it. It's not that I want special favor, but all my life I didn't drink, I didn't smoke, I didn't flirt. I always tried to be good. I really did, and I did everything right. And here's a guy over here, he's a nasty, dirty, perverted, filthy, rotten, stinking sinner! You mean that he gets the same thing I do? Are you mad because you didn't have all that fun this fella had over here, or what? What's your problem? What is your problem? They are as justified, and if you keep up that kind of talk, then I have to shrug my shoulders. I mean, it's up to you. Freely, freely, I have given you forgiveness. Now, if he's given you forgiveness freely, then you have to give it to somebody else. It doesn't matter what you did and how good you were. Most of the time, you hated being good like that, and you're always envious of the person over there that was doing bad. You wanted to do it anyway, so you had it in your heart and in your mind, so you did it anyway. This guy went ahead and did, so you're both sinners, and all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and it doesn't matter how good you've been. There is no goodness outside of God. There are people like that. They'll call, but I have always been a good... Now, the question is, are you born again? Do you believe that you are a sinner? Sometimes people don't believe they're sinners. Well, I know I am. How many of you know they're sinners, saved by grace? Well, that's hard for people to... I'll put both hands up. Kick the legs out at the side. But couldn't I indulge? There's somebody on the radio right now. But couldn't I indulge a hope because I go to church? I've been faithful. I went every day. My grandmother went every day, and I went with my grandma, and then my grandma, and then my mother went to church, and we went every, sometimes we went twice a day. Doesn't that count for nothing? No. Sorry. Doesn't count for a thing. But I was always involved in a denominational church with rules and regulations, do's and don'ts, chants and shouldn'ts. And this is the way we do it. I don't care how you did it. I mean, that's all fine and everything, but what's that got to do with what's going on now? Are you born again? Well, I went to church all those times. Doesn't that mean? And I learned we had a flannel board, Jesus, and we put him up on the flannel board. And we had cut-out paper dolls, and we put them on. Doesn't, unless that teacher led you to the Lord, doesn't mean a thing. See, you insult God. Now listen to me close here. You insult God by bringing your counterfeit coin to pay for his treasures. And all the poor ideas I'm finding that we have about the value of Christ's gospel, if they think they can buy it, if they think they can earn it. And rich man, do you think out there listening on the radio right now that at the very last moment you can give everything to the poor and you'll be saved? Well, you call upon him right now and Jesus will save you. Do you cleave to your own notions? Your good works without Christ stink. Stop trying to get better. You can't do it. You could try for 1,000 years. It wouldn't improve you one bit. And right now I have to use a paradox on this thing. If you were to get better, you would be all the worse. And why is that? For the worse you are, the better it is for you to come to Christ. Did you know that? To whom much is forgiven? Huh? Much love comes from that person. I think faith is something like this. Here's the little boy. You see, he's hanging. I'm closing. He's hanging 50 stories. There he is hanging. And he won't drop, and he won't drop, and he won't. And then the father is yelling, drop! Let it go! Let go of that shelf! Let go of that! Don't hang on to that thing! Let it go! And he looks down. Oh, I can't! I can't! It's burning. He's only got a little time to go. And the father yells out, either you let go of trusting in yourself and hanging on to that building, or by the count of 10, I am going to shoot you. Give me that gun.
I've just given your father the gun. We are with, right now, he is aiming, he is wrapping the strap around his arm. And at the count of 10, we are going to shoot you in the head. One.
Here's the guy hanging here, see?
Two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight.
Now he's getting nervous.
Any last words? Nine.
And all of a sudden, he lets go. And that's what we got to do. We've got to let go of trusting in a person. We have to let go of trusting in people. We have to let go of trusting in ministries. We have to let go of trusting in men. I'm not saying there's not a ministry you should all have covering. But we have to let go of trusting in anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we do, hallelujah, I'll tell you one thing, if we do get into that kind of a thing, it causes a perishing. He that believeth shall be saved. Isn't that a tender and isn't that an easy message? Hallelujah. Why does the weapon of destruction have to be pointed at us? He that believeth not shall be damned. I'm going to shoot you. Huh? To make us to believe. And I think today, and I'm locking it up here like the boy, like that boy's position is very dangerous. Let go of your hold. Drop down. Be saved. Cast yourself upon him. And you shall never trust in him in vain, never. You who are miserable listening on the radio, you who are guilt-ridden listening on the radio, come to Jesus right now. You that are saved and are miserable, come to Jesus right now. Come to Jesus. Don't come to yourself. Don't come to your thoughts. Come to the Lord.